sit back, chill out, vibe out. 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 Hey. We up the smoke, 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 we up the smoke. We back up in this thing.
Yo, 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 welcome back to another edition of the Up and Smoke Show. I'm the host, Miracle Mike. In here today, my co-host, Miss Goldsmith. What's happening? How you
hey,
doing?
Hey, nothing
how you
much.
Doing today, man?
What's up? Just chilling.
How you mental health? How things going? How your week been?
Mental health is good. It's just I go back to work next week. I've been off for the past month, so I am not really looking forward to going back to work, but I gotta go back to the bag. This past week, I have just been packing. You know, we getting ready to move on the 31st of March. So, between me recuperating from surgery, trying to get my body to get back into work mode, because I've been taking naps between 11:30 and 2:30 every day. Now when I go back to work between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., it's going to be a struggle. I did kind of have like a little, well, for everybody who don't know, I just had weight loss surgery on February 13th. And I had the gastric sleeve. And I had what they call the regret period. Like, why the hell did I do this? Was this worth it? I had one of those.
So you think the surgery wasn't worth it?
A week and a half ago, yes. I felt like, because the hardest thing for me, what wore for 2 weeks ago, was not comparing myself with other people that you see. Like I'm big on TikTok. For me, I'm big on TikTok on my journey. So when I see people that be like, I lost 50 pounds in 2 weeks. Nigga, how the hell you lose 50 pounds in 2 weeks? Like, I'm over here struggling with 10 pounds. So, but you got to realize,
now, it's
like,
different body types.
Exactly.
People body
you don't know, like, and they say, if you're over 300 pounds when you have the surgery, your weight is just, the beginning weight is just going to start falling off. Well, the day of surgery, I was 254. So, but I got to remember that I came from 304. And I lost a good amount of weight before surgery. So, my mental health was, you know, falling. And then it got back up. Then I had a brief period of that almost made me dehydrated. So, I had to go get an IV. For 2.5 hours. That fucking hurt like hell. Now I'm getting my fluids in. And I'm good. And I'm actually excited that we're about to move out of this old ass house.
Yeah, so then, man, I'm gonna ask you, tell the people about it, but you already done told them. So what the pros or cons in the weight loss do you think?
Well, I would say it took me 9 months. Like, I initially started back in 2020 during COVID. Well, then I chickened out because we didn't have no vaccines or nothing like that at the time that I was going through with moving along with my program. So I chickened out. I restarted last year in April. So from April until February, that's how long it took me to do all the diet classes. I had to do 6 dietary visits with my nutritionist, and I had to get an endoscopy to look at my stomach. I had to get tons of blood work. I had to see a therapist. And different programs have you see different things. Well, my initial surgery date was January 30th. It was a Monday, but that Friday before that, the 27th, I get a call and say your surgery's been canceled. So I would say the whole process for me is like it was like a roller coaster. It was up and down, up and down, up and down. So as soon as they called me, I immediately hit depression because it was like, what? Like, you have to do, like, if you're working, you know, short-term disability, FMLA stuff. There's a lot of paperwork that's going back and forth. So you got to involve so many people with your journey that don't need to be involved, but you do, because if you want to get paid and keep your job, this is what you got to do. So the weight loss place called me 3 times. The first time they left a voicemail saying my surgery was canceled. The second time they called me just so they can talk to me to tell me my surgery. What they said, they apologized. My surgery is not canceled. Just go about it like I was doing. The third time they called me and said, yeah, at this point, just prepare for your surgery not to happen. Then the fourth time, it was my dietitian who called me from her personal cell phone after 5 o'clock. And told me that, yes, go ahead and stop doing my pre-op diet, and my surgery's canceled. So, of course, that Friday, I went back into typical fat girl mode. I ordered fucking hella food. Couldn't eat it, though. So, I wasted a ton of money. And then that Monday, my mother-in-law, my friend, was like, why don't you call the insurance to see what happened? And I'm like, what the hell are they going to tell me? They can't tell me nothing. They're like, they absolutely can tell you why they didn't approve your surgery. So I called my insurance company, and they told me, no, ma'am, your surgery's been approved since December 8th.
That motherfucker told you that your shit wasn't approved, but it's already approved.
Yeah, they told me this is...
So basically, they're trying to get double paid.
Yeah, because they told me my surgery was canceled due to financial reasons.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to hit the double back on you.
The insurance company, they said no. So what the weight loss place was saying was, they said that my insurance wanted them to do the surgery as outpatient. So when the claims person at the insurance told me that it was approved, I said, well, are you talking about the surgery or the hospital stay? And she broke it down. She said, Ms. Goldsmith, once we approve it, we approve the whole thing together. There's no separation, which is what the weight loss, the hospital was trying to get them to do. The hospital was trying to get them to approve the surgery and another approval code for the stay. So I reached out to the surgery coordinator and told her, like, hey, I just called the insurance and they said my surgery's been approved, the whole thing. Y'all don't have to have two different codes because they don't have two different codes. They just have one surgery code. So she goes back and forth telling me all this stuff. And then I'm like, well, when am I going to get rescheduled? She's like, well, you know, we're working on getting everybody else rescheduled. And then the last thing, because I kept going back and forth with her, was, well, you wouldn't have surgery anyway because your surgeon has COVID. Well, that's not what y'all told me.
Wait a minute. They told you that your COVID, your surgeon had COVID. So why should be something they should have told you from the door? Like,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. They told me that my surgery was canceled for billing, for financial. When I was going back and forth with the surgery coordinator via email, she was getting frustrated because I had a rebuttal. Like, why you tell me this when the insurance say this? So finally, I guess her end all be all was to say, you wouldn't have been able to have surgery anyway because your surgeon had COVID and he's rescheduling people. I said, okay, well,
yeah,
y'all told me that my surgery was canceled. Y'all didn't say reschedule. And I'm like, I'm not a dummy by any means necessary. So she was like, well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure out how to get you rescheduled. And then she says that if she was working that day, my surgery wouldn't have got canceled because she had my approval code in my folder. Everybody else in the office.
In your folder, why the other people can't see it?
Exactly. And that's what I said. That's what I said. So after that day on Monday, like, everybody was like, why don't you go look at another hospital? We got another network called Kettering. The network that my insurance typically works with is Premier. So I was like, I don't know if Kettering is covered with my insurance. So I started Googling and I found a surgeon for bariatric that was a part of my network at Kettering. I called them on Tuesday, told them what happened. They scheduled me for an appointment on Thursday. I went to go see the surgeon on Thursday. And he was like, this happens all the time. well, hospitals get tied up with the billing aspect and we get a lot of their patients. He's like, we're going to submit through insurance because you did everything. I'm not about to have you do all this all over again because I'm familiar with your program. He's like, I'm not familiar with your surgeon because he's new to our area. He's like, but I have researched him. He's really good. He's like, so I'm going to reach out to insurance. And once we get approved, we can get you scheduled. So I'm like, I leave the hospital feeling good. Like, man, I should have kept catering as long as time goes. So that Monday, the following Monday, my old surgeon hit me up like, what happened?
What you doing, gang? What you got going on?
What happened? Because, you know, you got to send the transfer records of, you know, to take my records from them to the new one. So I just explained it to him. And he was like, I'm so sorry. You know, I don't deal with that aspect. And I'm like, I know it's not you. So he asked me to give him a chance to rectify it. And I'm like, what you mean?
Man, I need that money. What you got going on? I need that bread.
He's like, I can call the financial department and get this figured out. I'm like, if you can, then I'll stay. He called me like an hour or so later, tell me that he got to push through. He had to talk to his boss, had to talk to the director of the financial services because they want to know, like, they don't know how many patients got treated like me. And I was like, okay. So he gave me the date. He gave me the following Monday. So that whole, he was like, you got to do your pre-op again. I'm like, fuck. So I was like, I'm not starting Monday. I'm starting Tuesday. Because I never had, they call it a food funeral, where you just supposed to eat all the shit that you want to eat before you get this procedure. And I never had it because I had plans of like going out to dinner with hubby and my friend and stuff like that. So I just ordered food. And plus, my stomach was already shrinking, but I had my surgery on the 13th. Finally, February 13th was the day. I stayed in the hospital for a day and like a half. And the day I came home, that's when I got the call from the apartment that we had been waiting for, like 2.5 weeks, that we got approved. And it's been up and down. Like, I would say, for real, I didn't have as much pain as you see if you follow people on TikTok and social media.
I told you, like, you can't follow what somebody else goes through.
And they
experience ain't your experience.
Right. They come out of surgery and they crying and stuff. Like, my surgeon told husband that I was awake and I was a champ. And he said when she woke up, she was crying a little bit and she was, you know, vomiting. When I woke up.
What you crying for?
I don't know. When I woke up and I was in my suite, I was perfectly fine. Like, I just remember my mother-in-law and my husband just staring at me, smiling. And I'm looking at them like, what the fuck y'all smiling at me for? And then I fell asleep. And I woke back up, and then I fell asleep. And I remember husband left to go feed our dog and let her out. And the nurse was like, all right, it's time for you to walk. And I'm like, walk? They're like, yeah, you got to get up and walk. And I remember it was 6:30. And I was so mad because, you know, husband wasn't there. He had just left. But it wasn't bad. Like, me getting up to walk was not bad. Like, then I started walking, like, every 30, 45 minutes to an hour because I was bored in the hospital. And so I started walking just because, like, I wanted to get up and get out.
You want to get up and get out and get something, huh?
Right. I wanted to get out. I was tired. That hospital bed is not comfy. Everybody talk about them popsicles. Them popsicles is nasty as shit because they only had orange. And my new tummy does not like any kind of orange. Like, it's a no for me. But my nurse,
Crystal Light,
I threw those away. So it took a long time for me to like stuff. Like, I loved the pink Starburst and the blue raspberry Starburst water things. I stock up on those. Well, when I came home and I had
no, not no more. You don't.
I had water and I tasted it and I was like, what is this?
I told you.
And like, I can tolerate it now, but it ain't mine. Like, I tolerate it and every sip is like nasty.
Yeah, get you one of them circles.
but I can't drink through that because you gotta suck real hard through that nozzle or whatever, and it's kind of hard. Well, I could probably do it now because my surgeon said don't drink through a bottle with the pop, like don't drink through a straw. But I had a pop top and that had a big ass nozzle, so I was getting more air. So I just started drinking out of a straw last week, and I'm able to get my fluids in with the straw.
Mm-hmm. Now that's good, man. Shout out to everybody out there who taking their health and serious and their weight loss journey.
If you and I just want to plug journey, that if you one of them people that think the weight loss surgery is the easy way out, let me just stop y'all right there. There ain't shit easy about the process that I just went to. Because let's talk about going to the doctors every month, having to get on the scale. I know for me, it caused me serious anxiety because I wasn't given, like my surgeon said, if I wanted to have the bypass, I didn't have to have a set number of weight to lose. But if I wanted to have the sleeve, I had to lose between 10 to 15 pounds. So every time I went to the doctors every month, I got so nervous. Like my anxiety was just like killing me. Like I'm thinking, do I wear as light clothes as possible?
Well, butt naked.
Right. Do I need to take off a bra? Do I need to take off the bottoms? Like what do I need to put on so I can get on this scale? Because I don't want to be heavy. And then all the visits. And let's talk about the copays. Like I got insurance, but every 2 weeks I was getting a bill for something.
Well, I had that copay. My copay was like $9.
Nah, they told me once I had my surgery, my fee was gonna be like no more than $2,000.
So I told her what I pay out of pocket now, bro. My first dietitian visit I went to, I first got that bill before I got that my medical insurance. I got shit, that shit was like $3,000, some change, but I didn't even pay that out. I just waited till the insurance kicked in and then, but I didn't even get the weight loss surgery. I got all the way, I'll go get the bypass or whatever like that. And I got right there to the surgical doctor and I met with the therapist two times a week to make sure that your mental and you really want this is really what something that you really want to do. And the first time she was like, she think I can do it, whatever. But she came to the house to meet with me. She said that from the time I left the hospital to come home, something changed where she don't think I was fit no more. Like, it was, you know what I mean? So it stalled, like, it didn't happen. Then I went back a year after that in 2018, to redo the process. I had to go through the weight loss thing again, the dietitian, nutritionist again, meet with the therapist again, go to the classes about what surgery procedure, what it is, what it's about, what it does, learn about what foods you could eat in the first 3 weeks and all that stuff. And I got right there to the surgical doctor again and it stalled out again. Like, so I said, this must be a sign. Like, it must be a sign. I must not supposed to get it because I go through all the hard shit, get to the surgical doctor. The last time I met with the surgical doctor, he told me what surgery that he think that I would fit for my body size, my height, and things like that. And stalled, like I got denied. Like, I was approved until I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? So,
then and I remember one of those times that you had got told no because you got serious, you were so angry. Like, on the outside, you was telling people, it's cool, it's cool.
It's cool, I'm mad as fuck, bro. I'm gonna throw all
cool,
this shit.
It's cool, you know, then you start making...
poking me and shit. No nigga poking me with needles. And
right, but then
I'm
you
going
started...
I'm going through my lab rat and this shit, and they get right there and they tell you, no.
This is like, how I knew you was really pissed off, because, like, I remember when I was telling you about mine, and you was like, yeah, but you know, if you do research, they say research, you don't even need the surgery. So you was all for the surgery when you was going through the procedure. Then when they told you no, it was like, nah, fuck that. Surgery is not good for you. And da 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 da. And I'm sitting over here like, Tara, don't even argue, because he hurt right now.
That shit was like, bro, like, these motherfuckers.
But see, you know how it feel. You know how it feel when you called me the day that they canceled my surgery, and I was pissed. And you was like, damn, homie, like, for real, like, well, what happened? Da-da-da-da-da. And I'm telling you, when you heard the same shit that I was going through, because, you know, I was talking about going to Mexico. Like, I had already
pulled. Boy, lucky you didn't.
I know. I was talking about going to Mexico. I had already reached out.
You were going to get on the plane and go to Tijuana, guys.
That's exactly where I was going to go. I was going to go to Tijuana. I had already reached out.
I'm gonna chop this stomach off one way or another, goddamn.
Listen, that's what I said. I said, I'm getting my surgery done in 2023. I said, because I have been waiting since 2020, and this has to be done. So me and her husband, we talked about it, and he like, shit, if you want to go, wherever you want to go to get this surgery, let's go. So then I started looking at places in the U.S., but the places that don't have to go to insurance is like, you gotta pay like $12,000. So I'm like, do I want to take that much out of my 401k? Like, is it that serious? And so then they said, like, when they'll advertise $12,000 on the website. Okay, cool. They tell you everything that your 12 bands go cover. Then when you talk to somebody and they start getting your numbers and your BMI, then that shit goes from $12,000 to $20,000. And it's like, I don't want to cash out $20,000 from my 401k.
By that, you go overseas, you go over to Tijuana, though. I heard, bro, like, a $20,000 to $30,000 surgery, that shit like $5,000.
Yeah, I was going to go to, I don't know if I can say the name, but I was going to go to
No, we don't do that. We're going to say the name, because we ain't getting no free apple.
I was going to go to this place in Tijuana. You know, I know a lot of people from the bariatric community that went there. And the surgery starts at like $4,500. And you get like 2 days in the hospital.
I know a girl, bro. I talked to a girl, and she went recently to got her. She got the sleeve did. And I was like, being in a business, I was really being nosy to see how much it cost. And I was like, how much the cost? It cost like $40,000, $50,000. She was like, nope. I'll pay $8,000 for mine.
Yeah, like,
what?
The place that I was gonna go to was for like $4,600. You was gonna be in Mexico for 6 days. That covered, but then you had to pay, like, if your BMI was over 50, you had to pay $350. So they gave you a price list of everything. So
she
like
she was there for 2 weeks. She was in Mexico for 2 weeks. They gave her a home health in the house nurse, and the surgery itself was like $8,000, but you got to pay for the nurse, the medicine. And
yeah, you do have to pay for like extra medicine.
So probably all in total, you probably pay like $20,000.
So I think like husband and I, we had both looked at, and we was like, okay, we can pull out about a good $8,000. From our 401k, so we can pay for the surgery. We had to pay for the tickets, of course, from us in Ohio to go to. We would have to fly to San Diego. The hospital was gonna have their people come pick us up from the San Diego airport, and then take us across the border with our passports and stuff. The flight for both of us was gonna be $1,000 a piece. We was gonna go to San Diego a day early, get like a hotel, cause you know, flying in the same day, that scares crap out of me, things happen and all this stuff. But I was ready to do it. I was ready to cross the T's, dot the I's. I had already looked into figuring out what I got to do for my 401k and pulling out money, because I was like, listen, going through this process and getting let down so many times, and then people telling me, well, you already lost such and such amount of weight. I don't need you to calculate how many fucking pounds I lost. I started getting cranky. I started, like, I was just bitchy.
Yeah, that, like, the weight loss goals, the best thing I would say that I did to lose weight is not have a high expectation on weight loss. What I done was make short-term goals to make a long-term goal, but then set short-term goals to hit, like, milestones to get to where you're going.
Yeah, because, like, from February 13th to yesterday, I weighed myself, and I have lost 12 pounds since surgery. But when you look at the big picture, from my weight, my heaviest was 304, and now I've lost 62 pounds.
But good.
It's just the part that from surgery.
Once you get moving around and baby walk, it'll shed faster.
Every day, I try to get at least 5,000 steps. Some days I get 3,000. But my watch and my steps are definitely moving as before they were not. Like,
that fitness thing on the iPhone, crazy too.
And
especially if you got it paired to your chart, and it automatically tell you what your weight is.
I got a 2-pound weight loss. Like, when I had my 2-week checkup, I had lost 10 pounds. I can tell you that when they say get your fluids in and get your protein in, because those are contributors to you losing weight. Me getting my fluids, having a week of getting my fluids in, that's what had me lose.
Because you still flush out the bacteria. You flush out all the bad stuff.
Because I was going up and down, like, between 245 and 246, 245.2, 246.3. Like, I was going back and forth because I wasn't getting all my fluids in. So now I'm drinking at least 48 ounces of water a day, and I'm flushing out.
You stair step?
Huh?
Do you stair step?
Heck yeah. Like, I'll be on the phone and talking to my Berry Peeps, and we do, like, Facebook live calls and stuff. I'll be on my phone just going back and forth in the house. On days that we have, like, 60 and 70 degree weather, I'll go outside and run with Bailey in the backyard. I'll go up and down the stairs. I make myself go up and down the stairs up in the house at least 10 times a day, and I just go back and forth. One of the days.
I mean, know what I used to do? Well, they taught me how to do all that physical therapy. If you got steps, right? Mm-hmm. Stand to the bottom of the step, right? And stand in front of it and step, foot on, one up, one down, one up. But do it 10 times. 10 times one leg, 10 times right leg, 10 times left leg, right? Mm-hmm. Then you turn your back towards the step. And you do it again, 10 times left, 10 times right. And you do that 10 times both ways, right? And if your legs don't feel like jello, you ain't did it long enough, do it again.
Yep.
But do more reps of it. So start off with a rep of like 10 times, and then go 20, 40, things like that. And the more you do, the stronger your lower body will get. And I do squats too. Like, getting your lower back. Really,
yeah, I do squat.
To all the fat people out there in the world, we carry around a lot of cargo, so the lower body is gotta be stronger than your upper body, because your lower body holds up all the cargo that you carry. So you got to strengthen your legs, your lower body to be able to carry the weight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
and your legs and your feet and your legs, your knees is important, because you ain't got no feet. Your feet fucked up and your knees messed up, bro. And then when you lose weight and you start shedding a little pound, all the pressure your knees once had, you don't really got it like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the squats to get easier, you can feel like your body change. You know what I'm saying? And I got some resistant stretch bands too.
Yeah, I got those. I got a treadmill. I just got approved the week before to get to start using my treadmill again. I got the little.
But don't you should go at
what?
Once they let you get into some water, you go to water aerobics. Go to like a local pool.
I said I want to try. I want to try a boxing and a boxing/kickboxing class, or I want to do Pilates, so that way I'm moving my body.
Boxing be cool though. Boxing, cause you do all your body, but if you get into some water and work out.
I don't
water,
know how to swim, so I'm not doing no water.
I ain't talking about swim. Like you just get into water where the water like a low above your waistline. But shit, that's right. You wear short though. Your waistline is your waistline, so 3 feet is already about over your head.
Shut up. But let me tell you, so what I don't understand, because you know we about to move. So maybe it's just me. I never had to deal with this before, but I was talking to my friend and he said no. So when you moved into your place, did you move in? Did you have to move out by the 1st or the 31st from your old place?
Oh, you know, when I got moved out my last place, they didn't give me the proper moving date. So the first time I moved, I got moved out on the 31st.
So is that a thing now? Because like when I applied for the new apartment, you know, they told us that they had a brand new apartment that's not even done yet. It was on the 5th floor. It's about to be renovated. The tenants moved out January 30th. And then it would be ready April 1st. So I'm like, bet, we're going to get brand new everything because they gutting the apartment and stuff like that. So the move-in date was April 1st. So I'm calling, like, we didn't want to do with, you know, people saying, oh, yeah, I'll help you move. And then the day
do they do the prorate?
No.
Do they do that half a rent joint?
No. So when I called my current place to tell them that we're moving to see what all I have to do, they said that if I move out on the 1st, then I would have to pay the full rent to them.
No, you had to stand. Because think about it. I see what they're saying. You stayed the full month or the last month. So most apartment places, right? You pay from 15th to the 5th. Well, the 5th to the 5th, right? So that place you right now, they not doing like that. They're doing it for per month you stay. So then when you pay rent, this month is for last month. And then this month coming will be for the month you're currently in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, move.
So that's why if you do the 1st, you have to pay for the month that you stay that month. That makes sense, but it's stupid. But it makes sense because they could just let you pay half of what you would have paid. If you started paying them full, you pay them half.
They don't do proration though.
That's stupid. And then maybe I heard that how Ohio been taxing and house marketing.
I had to call the moving company because, you know, we actually paying for movers because we didn't want to deal with the people saying, oh yeah, we got you. I got you. Because the original
they don't show
date,
up.
Yeah, they don't show up. The original date was a Saturday. Who want to get the hell up on Saturday to help somebody move? So I was like, all right, let's just cash out. Found the moving company. So then I had to call the new apartment to see because she told me that it would be ready on the 1st. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So then I had to call her. Then it took a minute because the leasing agent couldn't make that decision. So I had to wait for the manager, who she was out sick. So then the leasing agent finally called and said, yes, you can move in on the 31st. I'm like, all right, bet. So we got that out the way. So then, you know, moving costs a lot of money. And
oh yeah, for sure. They you got to pay for the U-Haul and the
like. You got to pay
moving people. You got to pay
first month, last month, and deposit. Well, the apartment that we're moving to, we got a special that you get the first month free. So we applied in January, and the deal was as long as you view the apartment, like you view the apartment in January, and then you apply within 24 hours from the date that you view. And then once you schedule your date, that's when you'll get your first month free. So I was like, shit, how long can we push this back so we can get time to get this bread up to move into this place? So we like, can we move in June and still get the first month free? But the place that we had looked on the apartment on the 8th floor, and I was like, whew, the 8th floor? What if the elevators ain't working that? Who the hell trying to climb 8 fucking flights of stairs? Like, nah.
Oh, you know, old boy ain't worried about it. He's a walker, Rick.
Hubby gonna walk the stairs. Hubby will fucking walk 14 flights of stairs. And I'll be like, how I'm gonna get up there?
The problem with going up 8 flights is the fact that we go get groceries. Who the fuck carrying all that shit?
Nuh-uh. See, what you do is, because we got 2 elevators, what you do is you get a wagon. You get one of those utility wagons. Because I saw a whole bunch of people that live there that have wagons. And they pull shit from, they take the wagon. Either it's in the car, because it's collapsible. You can fold the wagon up. They take it out the trunk. They pop it down. And they put the groceries and whatever else they're carrying. And they roll that bitch to the elevator and roll it to their apartment. So...
But the elevator ain't working, then what you do?
Nah, they got 2 elevators. You'll just be sitting there waiting for the one elevator to come so you can pull your shit on the elevator. But I paid $89.99 for my wagon. I just ordered it a couple days ago. Because I was telling hubby, because he's like, what the hell we need a wagon for? I'm like, you gonna carry groceries up 5 flights of stairs? I said, or are you gonna keep going back and forth from the car to the elevator to the apartment?
And that was the one thing I would got the wagon for, because, you know, is getting the cases of water.
Well, we don't have cases of water. We got a water machine.
Oh, that's right. We so, took that heavy ass 5-gallon thing.
Yeah, so we gonna take, we got like 10 empty water gallon shit. So I told him that we just gonna get the little stickers to put on top of it to close up the hole, and we gonna take these to like Walmart or some shit.
You know, I think how much they charge you to fill per jug?
Like $2 and some change.
$2 a jug.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. But
so if I
let me ask you this, because you know. I want to know. I've been asking people. I want to know. Hey, do you see the video of the Santana guy?
Santana.
Yeah, the dude was talking about. He said smoking hookah was gay. A man smoking hookah is gay. That's what he was saying. Something like that. Something in that context.
What's the difference between smoking hookah and smoking?
Do you think smoking hookah, as a man smoking hookah, you think it makes him gay?
I don't think it makes him gay, because what's the difference in the man smoking other stuff? Mary Jane.
Let me ask you this. If a man smoking hookah and it's pineapple, mango, pomegranate, then what?
He just like pineapple, mango, okay. People that put titles and people that...
That's
that
what look, I was saying, yo, like...
People stereotype everything. So a man that's gay because he likes the flavor of pineapple, mango, like motherfuckers don't eat...
Yeah. It's, so, or you like eating hot dogs.
I mean...
Or blow pop.
So what, or motherfuckers... ice cream. So men don't go and buy a smoothie when it's hot outside?
Eat bananas. No, these niggas don't eat bananas no more, man. They break them.
Well, I know. I when the first time I seen hubby do that, I was like, what the hell are you doing? He like, I'm eating a banana. I'm like, why are you breaking it up?
I don't break no banana. I eat a regular. You eat a glizzy? Fuck, it's a glizzy. Like, I eat hot. It's a hot dog.
He won't eat it in public. Like, he'll eat it with me.
See, he care about what somebody see. I don't give a fuck. If I go out, I got banana, me banana. If I got a hot dog,
I told him,
ice cream cone, I'm going to lick that goddamn
We went to Chicago. He was smashing the fuck out that Chicago dog. But the banana, he said that when he went to work one time in the day shift, he took like a banana. And, you know, you can't eat nothing real heavy when you're about to work that factory life. You're going to be sluggish. So he took like a banana, some yogurt or some shit. And he said he was eating his banana, reading his Bible. And one of his coworkers came up and was like, hey, bruh. And he had his little beets in, so he took the beet out. He like, bruh, I don't even think you should be eating that like that. So, you know, my hubby like, what? He like, bruh, that banana. He like, what about it? I don't even think you should be eating it like that. And he said he was like, if anybody is turned the fuck on from the way I'm eating the banana, you need help.
That's a fact. I don't know why.
And he put his earbuds back in and continued to do what he was doing.
I understand how, like, everything in society...
Everything is sexualized. Like,
it's sexualized, yeah.
Me and
most times,
it ain't even
niggas, though. It's like, most... I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Like, it's really women. Because women say, oh, he got on these shorts, they're too short, or he gay.
Last season the women was loving the men with the hoochie daddy shorts.
What is the hoochie daddy? What's that?
Okay, so the hoochie daddy is like it's like a sexy man who smell good, you know, moisturized, got the nice haircut, and he fit the category of a zaddy. But then hoochie is. He got the mid-thigh shorts. Because, you know, men come a long way where y'all used to rock y'all shorts down to y'all fucking calf. Like,
but think about this. Back in the early, late 60s, late 70s.
They wore hoochie daddy shorts.
They wore high shorts when they play ball.
Yeah.
Did they make them gay or...
All we doing is recycling. Man. All we doing is recycling the
fashion.
Yeah, we just recycling. Fashion.
Yeah, they'll come out with platforms soon.
We got bell platforms. Bottoms. We got bell bottoms. We just ain't got the platforms with the fish and shit inside of them.
Yeah.
But I just feel like...
Going to swim.
I just feel like they sexualize everything. I do not think a top man is gay. He's eating apple mango tango.
The problem is the term gay, right? The word gay. They don't understand what it means. So, you part of the community, so I can talk to you about it. So, what do, because, you know, it's ignorant people out in the world, they don't know what it means. So, could you define what that actually means?
Like, the dictionary term?
Yeah.
Gay is happy.
Right. Right. But in urban terms, what is that? What makes you gay?
I mean, when you like a person of the same sex.
So what I got to do? So having sexual contact with the same sex.
With the same sex
makes you gay, right? Gay.
Yeah.
So how eating hot dogs?
I have no idea. Like I think it's the younger, like, I sound like an old person, but I feel like the younger generation is just fucking up everything. Like,
and they got this new joke called everything is, hey, yo, bro, I'm going to the store, and I'm going to hit the store, pause. What the fuck all this pausing going on? No homo, but saying pause or
I feel like men had to apologize for everything. If they want to dap up their friend, they dap them up. No homo though on that gay shit. Like, you just dap up your bro. Like, why can't you dap up your man like you did before?
Niggas out here, they real zesty out here. And they got new word for it, zesty. Boy, don't go that nigga zesty, son.
Like, but I like him. I love a man who is strong with himself, who not worrying about these fads, who's not worrying about somebody walking up talking about some, you gay. There's nothing wrong with the LGBTQIA+ community. If you gay, you gay. But don't categorize somebody into a category that they're not because they eating glizzies or they eating pineapples or they like the flavor pineapple mango tango when they vaping and shit. Like, I think that, for one, that's an insult to the LGBTQIA+ community. That's an insult to them.
But the thing is, the person that actually said it was gay. Wow. But I think his problem was when it was, he went to the hookah lounge, wanted to go smoke hookah, but he got there, there wasn't no hookah booth, so he was drinking smoke hookah, and he saw straight men smoking hookah, he's all, he's gay.
You see, that's fucked up, because if a straight man talks shit about a gay man, the LGBTQIA+ community will shut the fucking shit down. But who's gonna stand up for the straight man when the said community says something ignorant to them?
It's double standard, dog.
It is.
And I feel like it's force fed. Like, no shade to it, but I feel like the society is force feeding it on people to accept it. Like, if a person don't accept it, they just don't accept it. If they accept you, they accept you. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah, you can't force them to like you.
You can't force them to like you. Like, we can't force like bullying, right? Uh-huh. They take bullying now to a whole nother level. Like, kids nowadays are so fucking sensitive. Like, bullying, when I grew up, they put the head in the toilet. They give you wedges and beat you up. That's some. Now a kid say something to a kid, oh, you bullying my child. Come on, man. Man, Jonah is not bullying, bro.
But you also gotta look nowadays, you know, our generation when we was young, we ate dirt. Our parents didn't freak the fuck out when you ate dirt or you ate sand.
I made dirt and dirt don't hurt.
Right. But then, so that made us tough. We also had time to go outside. You go outside, you bring your ass in before the street lights. We was not glued to iPads.
Oh, yeah, that's a fact. It wasn't me no inside the house playing no damn game all day.
No,
you carry your ass outside.
My mama used to be like, on Saturday, why you ain't, if you wasn't rushing to do your chores so you could get outside, your mama would be like, what the hell wrong with you? I just want to be in the house.
Hey,
I bet you wouldn't be in the house all day today. You ain't about to be in the house with me all day. If you don't go get dressed and go take your ass outside, I'm like, why I gotta go outside? I don't want to go outside. You gotta
go outside.
You be in the house with me all day.
Like, yeah, even if it's raining, you still outside.
You still outside. That tree. So now,
get up on that tree and wait for that storm to pass.
These kids, they want to be glued to devices and social media. And now, you know, like, social media is everywhere. Social media making people think, if you ain't making six figures, you broke. Social media got real life women thinking that they supposed to just be pretty, get a ring, not do nothing for the house, not if your husband is bringing home money, not paying bills, not cooking, not organizing, not contributing to the home, and making couples feel like, oh, well, my hubby has to pay all the bills, because social media say if the man ain't paying all the bills, he not a man. Well, in a fucking epidemic, a pandemic, motherfucker, you be lucky if two incomes is enough. Cause I know
one time back when in a long time ago, when we were younger, and we had the custody, the growth of a hermit or the person mindset is a powerful thing to see. So back when I was like, we were probably like in our like early, like late mid-20s, and we had a conversation about households and how it should be ran. When I gave you that scenario, you were like, nah. But now you see what I was saying. Now you see different. So like,
because when, okay, me being married, when we got he moved in to my apartment because his apartment was trash. I'm just be honest. We had a conversation that he didn't want to move in with me while we weren't not being engaged. I'm like, whatever, boy. I just don't want to come over here because you ain't got no air. Every time I turn around, something breaking. Like, my apartment is way better than yours. Let's just pack your shit up.
That's a low-key kind of shady ass shit. My apartment better than yours. Come to my house. What are you talking about?
It is. Like, his motherfucking apartment. You remember that day
But yeah, so how your, what you say about the apartment? Now we had to pay some bills, y'all. We back now.
We back. So yeah, I decided that, you know, I put it on the table that my apartment is better than he is. You know, he had a lot of shit that was like broke and stuff like that. So I was like, my apartment's better than yours. You can move, we can move in together, you know. But the first thing he did was ask me
That was before you figure out y'all was in a relationship, right?
No, that was after.
Okay.
He asked me, like, how much was my rent and what all bills I paid. And he moved in and he paid. I only had rent and electric. So he paid the rent and the electric. We had a cell phone bill that I paid. And then we both went in on groceries.
I think the bills of the household should be upon the man. But if the man can't foot the bill by himself, then his helpmate should come in and assist him where he's lacking. You agree with that?
I agree with that. But I feel like if you always lacking, then there's a problem.
But at the same time, when you're lacking, and I
don't have a problem with stepping in. However, if my job is to assist you when you need it, but I still have stuff that I have to pay, so that means I'm taking away from what I have to do. Because if you're lacking and you only got $200 of the rent, then that means I got to come up with $600+ to pay what you're lacking, not to mention what I got on my own. So that's where the problem comes from, because then somebody has to choose on whether they pay what they're responsible for or whether they pay, you know, whatever the man couldn't pay for.
I think when it comes to...
So that's the problem, because...
paying the bills, I think the bills should be just split down the middle. And I pay what I pay this, you pay that, whatever like that. But it comes to a point where I don't have it. If I ain't got it, I just ain't got it.
Yeah, but
Wrong Peter to pay Paul.
I get it. But if you keep coming up several months back to back when you ain't got it, then you need to figure out how you gonna
do it. But then that's on, depending on how the job.
No, but then that means you need a second job, because
by the ball I work, but at the same time the job work, if I'm not getting the hours and then I got all the shit that out of my control getting took, then ain't nothing I can do.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the person that's assisting is assisting. But what you also forget is the other person has bills that they have to pay too. Like they may have a car note and medical bills.
I think the terminology of assisting, that terminology is like, well, that's a thing to move. I think just personally, the bills should go in the same account, because end of the day, No matter if it's my money or her money, my money, the bills gotta be paid.
But see, we do that. We're doing that now because we're moving into a place where it costs more.
It's better just to have a joint account.
Well, we've always had a joint account.
It's for bills, because
he put it was his money that was going into the joint account to pay the bills. My money paid for groceries and medical bills and putting money in savings and stuff like that. Now we both have a set amount that we put into our joint account, and then we each have our own personal account. But like what I'm saying is, what can cause a problem is if the person who pays the bills, if they have an issue with their job, their hours getting cut, blah 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 blah, then that other person that's supposed to be helping, that helps them, I don't have a problem of helping. Where the issue comes in at is that I go from helping to paying all of the bills. I didn't sign up to do that, and you're causing me to be delinquent in the stuff that I have to pay. So while you just sitting there letting your hours get cut, not trying to find something else, not trying to get supplemental income, you're also putting strain on the other person who now has to pick up your slack and cover what they have to pay on their own. That's where the issue is. So that's where, if it's the man paying out the bills, that's where he needs to say, okay, this job is not doing well, I need to find another job, because
my stability though.
What?
That stability to have a job when it's down, if the job having a downtime, I'm just drop this job to go somewhere.
Yeah, but you're still not acknowledging the fact of what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that when you have to assist with paying the bills, and you paying the bills, start paying the bills, so like, who cares? If the man of the relationship don't got it and the woman has it.
Right, but so what about, okay, so what if it's her responsibility?
That's what you had to do.
What if she has to have a car payment? She can't pay her car payment.
The money that the man would have paid for whatever said bill, that could go toward, there could be a compromise. It's all about give and take, compromise.
Right, but you said that if the dude ain't got the money, he ain't got it. So that
if he ain't got it, he ain't got, well, he gonna rob somebody.
But no, what I'm saying is that's when he needs to find supplemental income. Because if I'm helping you and you ain't got none of the rent, and I was not planning on paying that rent, and I got my own bills, if I'm taking care of the car payment,
that's the thing though, if I don't got the rent money, but you got the rent money.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, I'm pushing back on it because
I'm going to pay it. But who's going to pay the bills that I have?
You got the money. Like, however, women might spend it or whatever, they got that money. They
right, but that's not, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if her check is $1,200, right, and y'all rent is $800, that means that's $400 that she has to pay, or that she has left. That $400 was supposed to go towards her car note, her insurance, and groceries. There's no way she's going to be able to pay car note, groceries, and whatever else with $400 because you didn't have the rent. She covered it one month. So the next month, she has to cover it again. So technically, that's 2 months that she's past due on a car note that she usually takes care of, plus everything else she has to pay, while you just sitting there coming home saying, oh, my hours were cut. At some point, you need to think in your head, my girl done took over the bills, and she's actually being delinquent on the shit that she gotta pay. What if that's the only car that they have, and it's her responsibility to pay for the car? But guess what? 2 months in a row, she ain't had it to pay for the car because she's having to pay the bills of the house. That's
why,
where...
To compromise that, right? Why don't the bills of the house include... The bills of the house should be included certain things. Not just the rent, lights, water. You should include the rent, like, I don't know how I do it is, I send a bill, my bills for the house. My bill for the house is rent, light, water, furniture, groceries. All of that is the expense of what I got to have. That's something that you got to have, right? That's not nothing that you said. That's something that you have to maintain a healthy lifestyle. You got to eat, you got to have water, you got to have lights, you got to have a place to stay. Right now, when it comes to car, the short, you have to pick it. Like, some point, it got to be a sacrifice or a sexy thing that I'm going to take the money from the groceries, money I would have had for the groceries, I will put that money right here towards this insurance. I'm just going to pay my car note and pay my insurance.
So you're just supposed to go, so because his hours is cut, the first
it got to be compromised. It's all about compromise.
But
something's got to go.
How
like,
is it a compromise if he's not going to do anything?
Because at some point in time, you have to understand that.
We just go agree to disagree. To, what you're saying doesn't make
when
sense.
You choose
saying,
to, when you choose to get into a marriage with somebody or be with someone for a marriage, it's all about compromising and
but
communicating.
Nothing,
if I communicate with
you,
I don't got it. You got it.
Nothing
you
said was a compromise.
It.
You said if the man's job is cutting his hours,
because it's a slow hour, it's a slow time. It's a slow
right,
time.
But okay, so then that means it's that
nothing
I need
that,
to be
it's nothing
out,
that a man can do.
I need to be figuring out how to pay all the bills while you just
so
here
what
waiting
saying,
your hours.
What I'm saying
up.
Is, if you
there
still,
is Uber, there's Uber Eats, there's delivery services, there's restaurants.
Okay, that's fine, but
there's other places.
But in that circumstances of that situation. And that nigga don't drive. How you gonna Uber Eats the DoorDash and all of that?
But I'm talking about anybody
yeah,
else.
So the woman could go DoorDash, Uber Eats, and all that too. Why we can't
hell?
Do this shit
no.
together?
I didn't sign up to
why we can't do it together? Why we can't hustle myself? Together?
No.
While we lacking in the bills, we need some money, and
now,
we can jump in the car.
I've worked.
We can jump in the car and Uber
family.
Around together.
I've worked two jobs for my family. I've worked my 40 hours, and I've worked.
I'm just saying. If we need to get this bread, and if we're gonna need this bread, we could get in the car and DoorDash and post.
But we can't get in the car because the car ain't been paid in 2-3 months. They done took
but
that.
But the car notes would be just factoring the car. Looking woman, the bills should be factoring the car notes into the bills anyway. Because that's something you have to have.
No, but that's only if you put it all together. Like I don't expect my husband to pay my car note because my car was something
that ain't got that. What's in your? That's in your car. That's your car.
Well, I don't expect my husband to pay my car note because I came into it.
So you see, saying you keep the problem at most.
Well, first off, I don't have a problem with my marriage. You keep
I know that. I don't
I'm reaching saying, out
I'm,
towards me, and I feel
no,
like
I'm not
it's,
talking about
it's
you. I'm
my car.
Saying, the problem is this, you saying my
because it
my.
Is.
No, it's not. You married to the nigga. That's his car too.
Well, he don't have to pay the car notes. I don't stress. That he paid my car note. He's paid
he
it.
Paid mine. See,
but
so you try to have you try to have single. So you saying you're supposed to have single tendencies while you're married?
But
you keep saying mine. Like
we have joint bank accounts and we have single. We have separate bank accounts.
Mm-hmm. But you gotta know about feelings bank account. I don't. That's cool. That we ain't gonna go on that. Cause gonna
we got a bank account that we put all our bill money and stuff in for whatever needs paid, whether it's savings.
Cause I don't understand my bill, this my bill, his bill, my bill. I don't understand it. All the
no,
bills.
No, because
just,
I say
together.
That because I don't require him to pay the car note. The car note is something that I take care of.
The,
now,
the car note is something that both of y'all have to have for mobile
if
transportation.
If I'm short, whatever, and he wants to pay the car note, then yes. But the car note is not something that when it's due, I look at him and say, hey, the car note is due. You know what I'm saying? It's just something that I got before him, and I'm going to pay it. I paid it.
No, married. And your eye, it ain't, when you get married, the eye come to we.
I don't need you to tell me that. I'm still going
saying,
to say
like,
the car note or my car note.
It
doesn't matter who pays
that.
It, but I don't think that he's responsible for it is what I'm saying.
Why he wouldn't be responsible? He your husband. He's responsible at that point.
I mean, I feel like he has enough
he's responsible.
His right now.
he's responsible for that car note because he's married to you.
Yeah, but
your
I feel
bills
like,
is his bills.
I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is I feel like he has enough on his plate as it is with the household bills that I can take care of something. I'm fully capable of taking care of something on my own and not have to put that extra slack and him worry about the extra $500 for the car note. I'm fully capable of doing that. That's all I'm saying. When it comes to the household stuff, we got it on lock. When it comes to
all I'm saying is I hear what you're saying.
But I
understand
feel like
that, but I don't know. We agree to disagree. That's what we're gonna do.
I mean, I said that like freaking 10 minutes ago.
We agree to disagree, but what TV shows you been watching before we get up out of here? You watch that show, that movie called Netflix, We Got a Ghost.
No, you told me about it. I ain't watching it.
That's on fire. That's good. I watched this show on Hulu called Reasonable Doubt.
Oh, yeah. I watched that. That's my show.
That's on fire. I watched a movie on Hulu called Bruised. What, Bruce?
With Halle Berry?
No. That's on Netflix. Bruce on Hulu. It's about this young boy who go to this private school and his stepdaddy pay for it, but his real daddy come back and what be in his life.
No, I ain't watching.
His real daddy and his stepdaddy brothers. Yeah, brother, the homeboy, somebody like that. That's good. Then I also start back watching, BMF being on and watching BMF. Ghost about to come on. Power Ghost about to come on next Friday. I'm ready for that. I haven't watched Tyler Perry's Sisters, unfortunately. Don't know what the fuck going on in that. That got me kind of hot.
It's a lot of shit going on.
How many seasons I miss?
I think, did you watch season 4?
The last episode I saw when the girl at the bank got arrested.
Oh, you just missed season 5. That's on right now.
Okay, so this season 5 you're in right now?
Yeah.
Alright, so that's what I missed, okay. God damn, I gotta get my weight up. I missed that show. I would tell it like Tyler Perry's Sisters. If it didn't have Tyler Perry name in front of that show, you would not know he wrote that show.
Uh-huh.
That's a good show. I don't understand. It's almost like Girlfriends.
Yeah. But they into more shit.
Or it's Insecure. What are you talking about, Insecure?
I finished that. I'm mad at the way it ended.
But you know what's not? I heard Carlos Miller said that Issa Rae was the first woman on any like series show to let a fat nigga hit it on TV, on camera.
I guess that is true.
She was not the first woman that let a fat man hit. Okay, bro. Yeah, that's true. Big nigga got the love side of East. She got on the board of love, guys. But yeah, man, I'm sorry. What kind of movies you been? You watch Creed yet?
Yeah, we just went to go see it on Wednesday.
Yeah, I want to see that. I'm going to see that.
It's a good
I want to know something before I watch it. Cause I ain't watched it yet. If the woman came.
That's on Disney watching. Plus right now.
Is it worth watching?
Yes.
What were you rating?
10 out of 10.
Wow, I'm watching it. If it ain't good, I'm going to let you know.
It's 10 out of 10.
But you tell the people they can find you at and your social media and stuff like that.
I am heavy on my TikTok. It's Tara, T-A-R-A _V, like Victor, S-G _journey. and I have Insta at Ms.TGoldSmith.
Yeah, make sure you follow the host, me, Miracle Mike, at 7416. That's on Twitter and IG. And make sure you follow the Up and Smoke Show page on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Up and Smoke Show 18. Like the Facebook page. Join the Facebook group. And shout out to everybody on Facebook for showing the show some love. And make sure you follow the co-host, Big Boy the Great. That's Big Boy the Great on all social media. And man, you know what we're going to do, man? We're going to sit back, chill out, vibe out. We up in smoke.